Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You know, if you don't have your head turned to the side,
We can still be friends, but probably not close friends.
8:09 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and Mayor Robinson gave us a bit of a, every little incremental drip of information is update status, and we did get a little bit of that from him yesterday about the bridge.
Two things that came out of Thursday. I'm very confident that they will open the landing by the end of May. What I'm less confident is where between today and the end of May it will be. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, and we've had expressions of optimism from both Representative Andrade and Senator Broxson about the possibility of before May 31st. We also had a good conversation yesterday with City Director of Public Facilities and Works and Public Works and Facilities, David Forte. Used to be with the county as a traffic planner and was with the city, and then he's kind of moved up interim basis. But David Forte is a really sharp guy, and we're talking with him about the whole idea of, you know, going one way on Three Mile Bridge when it's only two lanes, you know, into Pensacola during the morning rush hour, out of Pensacola towards Gulf Breeze in the evening. He said the idea theoretically makes sense. The real problem is the ability to message it this soon to the reopening and being able to effectively pull that off in the short period of time. And so probably not going to happen, which is always too bad. I hate to see a good idea go by the wayside. It was kind of funny to me reading all the comments. Oh, Andrew, don't you know this will be more wrecks? No, it'll be less wrecks. What about the people who go the other way? Well, you're not out anything. You're just going to have a freer time going on Avalon, but it's not going to happen. So that's all kind of a moot point at this time.
I feel very confident that the bridge, if you know, the two lane, as soon as the concrete cures, they're going to be ready to start taking people across the bridge in two lane.
By the way, that decking has been poured apparently. So, you know, which is, we expected that like Friday.
I would love to see it in four lane. I think that's what we all are looking forward to, getting it back to four lane. But I think that will happen shortly. And the bigger question is just, when is the landing going to come together? But they were doing asphalt, and I saw pictures of it that they showed us Thursday. However, on the Landry side, there's no asphalt on that side. I was there today and looked at it. No asphalt.
Even two lanes is going to be a vast improvement, I hope. There really is a thought, by the way, that two lanes is going to be even worse than now, because it'll be traffic congestion and chaos and all, you know, and like all the uncertainty, especially in the short term. I don't take that view, but it is a concern. And I think one of the reasons that FDOT would not be willing to do the one-waying of it during rush hour either way is precisely because that's almost certainly going to be problematic. And whatever problem there is, people would compare that to right now and say this is a problem, as opposed to comparing it to what we wouldn't see, which is if, you know, both lanes are open each direction. And I think that's still going to be a little bit chaotic. But, you know, we'll see. I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I hope it opens smoothly, two lanes. I hope that and I hope it's soon. And then I hope the four lanes opens very soon after that, and it's all good. And we're not talking about this anymore in a month. I mean, honestly, that would be fantastic. 8:12 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. The mayor made another announcement yesterday. This was one of those, like, of course, and also it fits perfectly with all of the developing perspective on COVID that we've seen. I'm glad to hear it, by the way.
This has sort of prompted us to look at City Hall and in a position to simply say, if you've been vaccinated, we're going to say you don't need to wear a mask anymore. So if you've had your second vaccination, you're 2 weeks after that, we're going to say at the city of Pensacola that you don't have to wear a mask anymore, because we think it's prudent at that point.
This is in city buildings, right? The mask mandate in businesses had already gone away because of the state preemption order. And I think, did it expire first or did the state take it away? I don't remember which happened first. I think maybe it went away on its own. But in any case, you don't have to wear a mask in Pensacola, even at Walmart. I was at Walmart yesterday, and they don't have a mask requirement anymore either. You know me, I don't wear one now because I'm vaccinated. But I will wear one if you want me to. You know, I don't mind. It's your business, obviously. So anyway, good developments there. Meanwhile, the governor yesterday talking about what is the long-term relationship that we're going to have with COVID-19.
There's never going to be a time where there will be zero COVID in the world, because you look back, pathogens that were here 100 years ago are still here. But obviously, we're in a much better place to be able to deal with it. I think the chance of hospitals being overwhelmed is functionally zero here in Florida and anywhere in the United States.
Yeah, we have ventilators, we have therapies, we know how to treat the disease. You know, we have vaccines, we have low community spread compared to what we have been. Everything is good. There is no real risk right now of overwhelming the hospitals. And remember, that had been the issue. It wasn't just the people getting sick and dying from the disease itself. It was people getting sick and not being able to get treatment because the hospital facilities are overwhelmed for this and other diseases and people dying as a result of that, which becomes, you know, to some degree exponential. And he's right. We're not really at risk of that.
No, it doesn't go away. People just need to understand that. Yes, you have the ability to protect yourself. And yes, clearly, our hospital infrastructure is going to be more than adequate to deal with whatever happens going forward.
Very good. But of course, the thing that's on everybody's mind here is gas. Where's the gas? Well, as we've been telling you all morning, and Davis will probably give you an update here in just a moment on gas stations that, as far as we know, do have gas. Here's what's happened. Okay, it's not the Colonial Pipeline primarily, although that's indirectly maybe a factor. There's no real fundamental shortage. The problem is that we have truckers are in short supply because nobody can find enough workers. And also there's this facility, this fuel depot downtown that got shut down by the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services for failing an EPA test. And so that's the place that we primarily get our fuel from here in town, and we're not getting any. So that's a problem, and we're trying to contract and get other people to bring it in from elsewhere on short notice. But, of course, in that, we're trying to compete against the people who were directly affected by the Colonial Pipeline shutdown with the ransomware. So it's a bit of a perfect storm, plus people panic buying, topping off, getting worried. They've seen hurricanes before, and that's what this feels like. So be patient. You know, gasoline is in short supply right now in the Pensacola, Gulf Breeze, Navarre, you know, the area. Different places have it, and we've been trying to keep you updated on that throughout the day. But, you know, I'm hoping, really, quite frankly, hoping that within a day or two we'll be back to pretty much normal on this. But, you know, I can't promise you that because I don't control it. And by the way, I love the Channel 3 report yesterday on the gas station they were at crossing W Street, that while they were there, had it at $4.29 and on camera dropped it a dollar because the news crews were there. I hope they don't see. Roll it back a dollar real quick. Oh, no. That's just shame on you.
After gas station in Escambia County lined with drivers waiting to fill up their tanks. We received calls into the Channel 3 newsroom about prices at this one on Cross and North W Streets.
I started pumping, then I realized $46? I was in shock.
Throughout the day, the price of regular gas here was $4.29 a gallon. But take a look at this video we took. Within a minute of our news car pulling up, watch as the price suddenly drops to $3.29.
And what do you think that says that they changed it?
That says they know they're doing wrong and I want my money back.
Oh, man. Just on camera, ouch. 822 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. As far as I know, we are still now about 13 hours into not having a train stopped locally. Oh, man. And what was the thing you saw, Davis? The CSX train that was stopped yesterday for like 10 hours across Hancock, Oakfield, and Burgess. And I heard Kingsfield had it, too. And earlier in the day that it was downtown as well on like Hayden Street. But a notification popped up on your feed today that said, what are they hiring for?
CSX is currently hiring in Pensacola for a freight train conductor. A freight conductor.
New job opening as of today. Interesting. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
In Montgomery, police investigating an overnight shooting that landed 7 people in the hospital. Police says officers responded to the hospital late last night after they got word they were treating gunshot victims, none of them with life-threatening wounds. A deadly shooting at a high school in Russia. At least 11 people killed, several others injured in today's attack. Details still coming in, but reports say the gunman has been taken into custody. And you can take your awards. Mission Impossible star Tom Cruise is returning his 3 Golden Globes in protest. Sent them back to the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. That group has been accused of corruption and lack of diversity. NBC's actually canceled next year's broadcast of the awards.
Yeah. Were the Golden Globes, I mean, honestly, were they that big of a deal anyway?
They were kind of just like the precursor.
Right. It was always the junior awards, right? It was always the, and soon you're going to get the actual awards.
It's kind of like to tell you which direction the awards are heading every year.
Yeah. Right. And it was the Hollywood, what is it, the Foreign?
Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
Yeah, it's such a weird organization to begin with.
Yeah, you know, I was watching it, weirdly enough. I was watching it when it happened, last month? And it was all virtual and all mm-hmm. the people that were winning. Well, it's funny because the people that are winning are now coming back saying, I just don't feel good about the award that
right,
I have. I just can't accept I can't accept this award now. It
makes me wonder, like, what's the issue that there were no black people in the entire organization or something or right. the voting members? So. Mm-hmm. Did that just get discovered?
I thought this was already a thing.
I mean,
like, this has been a thing that was discussed.
I mean,
in the
that seems like the kind of thing that is hard to conceal. Like, how is that possible that, oh my God, look at what we didn't even notice? You know, okay, sure. 825, News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Still seeing westbound delays on Highway 98 that are backing up all the way almost to the Community Life Center there down Highway 98 by the Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School. So we'll keep an eye on this. Southbound delays on Garcon Point Bridge. As soon as you get off the bridge, you're going to be met with those delays on land in Gulf Breeze. So nothing that's too long. Avalon Boulevard flowing smoothly in both directions. And Andrew, I don't think this is due to a train on Burgess Road, but we are seeing Burgess Road delays in front of West Florida High School. Could just be school traffic.
And that's every day at this time.
And it's usually every day around this time. But those are delays I am noticing. Also, keep in mind, I've only received a few reports of closed or just at least gas stations that don't have gas. And that includes on 9 Mile Road and Beulah Road. There's a Tom Thumb over there, or Circle K, I should say, that does not have gas. But there's a Tom Thumb across the street. Have not received word about that one yet. I did receive word that the Circle K does not have gas. Also on Highway 98, the Circle K and Tiger Point does not have gas either. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Country Club presents Folds of Honor Patriot Day Golf Tournament coming up Sunday, May 30th. A full day of fun. Proceeds support the mission of Folds of Hope Foundation, providing educational scholarships to children and spouses of America's fallen, severely wounded, and severely wounded soldiers. Visit ScenicHills.com for team and single round information. 476-0380. Corporate sponsorships are also available. Also, Hogfest is back at Harley-Davidson, Pensacola. Comes up June 19th. Tickets are on sale now at NortheastSortoma.com. You can even have a chance of winning a 2021 Harley-Davidson Fat Boy at over $20,000. Nice. 828 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. The Coast Guard got into a shooting match with some Iranian speedboats. They didn't actually shoot at them, but they did warning shots from the 50. So they were, 30 shots, a couple of different bursts. Get back. Go away. Stop it. Man, I know sometimes you hear reports of, like, misbehavior by the military or accidents or whatever. I'm just always impressed with the restraint, you know, frankly. I know if I were the guy in charge, and this is why you don't put me in charge of a boat like this, if I were in charge, I'd be like, no, you're done. Just take one out, and then you don't have to deal with this anymore. But that's not the rules of engagement. 6 U.S. Navy and Coast Guard vessels, including the missile cruiser Monterey, escorting guided missile sub Georgia, encountered these Iranian ships, according to John Kirby, the Pentagon spokesperson. And, they all were basically riding around. They split up, went fore and aft, so they were kind of, coming at them in both directions. They said, no. About 300 yards out, they fired one burst, 150, another burst. They used everything. They used bridge-to-bridge verbal warnings, acoustic warnings, horn blasts, and then finally, when you get too close, we're done here. So the 50 cal was enough to discourage them, which, again, just what are you doing? You know, if you want to actually start something, which they don't, that's the whole point. It's just kind of harassing, aggravating. But that puts everybody at risk. And, you know, it's not a safe situation because things do go wrong and then things can escalate, which is obviously not good. 8:30 on News Radio 23 and AM 1620. I don't have time to get into this necessarily, but this is an interesting thing. Half of female soldiers are failing the Army fitness test. Males are passing just fine. A lot more detail on that. We might talk about this a little bit tomorrow. I don't think I have time today, but very interesting. Not surprising, right? Absolutely unsurprising, but an interesting thing. And then to see what is the Army going to do as a result of this.
Your money now. The stock market's open. The Dow is starting the day down 296 points, 34,446. The NASDAQ is down 215 points at 13,186. The S&P is down 51 points at 4,138. Gas supplies tightening up as the pipeline that carries almost half the fuel used on the East Coast is shut down for a fifth day. Colonial Pipeline says it's working to substantially resume operations by the end of the week. Governor Tate Reeves says Mississippi's opting out of the federal unemployment extra benefits program on June 12th. Mississippi joining Alabama, Arkansas, South Carolina, and Montana in announcing plans to opt out of those additional federal benefits. Some senators pressuring airlines to make credits issued for flights canceled during the pandemic indefinite. Democrats Ed Markey and Richard Blumenthal writing to all major airlines saying it's unconscionable that they're refusing to return passengers' money. Our next news at 9 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Hal. 8:38 on News Radio 93.3 and AM 1620. We do something frivolous and silly and fun and distracting as we every day at this time. And Davis, this comes from earlier in the show. We were talking about this, that postal workers will sometimes put a dryer sheet, you know, an anti-static dryer sheet in the back of your mailbox, which you kind of wonder what that is. All it is them trying to discourage the wasps from building a nest inside the mailbox, which, you know, that's kind of a problem for the postal workers if they're sticking their hands in there and getting stung. And it does happen, apparently. Well, that got me to thinking, you and I were talking offline a little bit about getting stung by wasps and bees and things like that. So my question for you, 437-1620, 437-1620, what's your animal attack story? It doesn't have to be a long one, but, you know, what's your best, weirdest, funniest animal injury story? I have a couple. I don't know that I have an A-grade one. I have a couple of small ones that are kind of like... But, Davis, do you have a best animal injury attack story?
This one was
437-1620, by the way.
Yeah, this one's insect-related.
All right.
This one, it was funny just kind of how it all worked out. I was doing a baseball tournament in Pace. We're at Pace High School, and at the time, I don't know if I haven't been to the high school in a long time. I don't know if they still have it, but they had an outdoor batting cage. And so we're in the batting cage just getting our cuts in, warming up. And as I'm
What an insider. Go on.
So, you know, you got to lift the cage to get out of it. And so as I'm lifting to get out of the cage, all of a sudden I hear a buzzing noise in my ear, and then a wasp stings me right in the back of the neck. Oh,
so in the neck.
Ow. Right in the back of the neck. So apparently I learned that tobacco, I guess, can help drive out the sting.
Okay.
And so we're in Pace, and so my dad's at the tournament, and he's like, and he tells me about this, and then he goes to the crowd and is like, anyone here have any dip? Well, sure enough, half the dads throw up their hands. So for 30 minutes, I had to lay on the bench with a patch of dip on the back of my neck while it was, I guess, driving out the sting. I don't know. I don't.
Right.
But I had to do it.
All right.
And I actually felt better afterwards.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I was they worried I was allergic to bees. We didn't really know. I'd gotten one sting and my forearm all swelled up. And then I was always terrified thereafter of what would happen if I got a bee sting. I don't think I am allergic, but I'll tell you, the wasp stings, those are unpleasant. Super unpleasant. I remember one time under the porch, just cleaning something out, getting stung on the back. Oh, God. But I think the worst one when it comes to stingy stuff, and there's, you know, any animal will do, but when it comes to stingy stuff, I remember as a kid, maybe a little bit older, barefoot, stepping on one in the webbing of my toes. Not. That was unpleasant times for sure. Anne is online at 437-1620. Anne, you got a weird, funny animal attack story for us?
Yeah, mine was a Canadian geese.
Okay.
I lived in Illinois at the time, and I was rollerblading. We had a park that had a two-mile track that you could rollerblade on. And apparently it was nesting season, and he was not happy that I was rollerblading anywhere in the vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
So that stupid geese went after me,
and
he chased me until he got me to fall down. Once I fell down, he left me alone.
So if you'd have known that from the start, you could have just laid down and played possum, and it would have been okay.
That's the worst bully
of a goose I've ever heard of. He doesn't actually want to attack you. He just wants to scare you into falling down. Oh, man. I love it. I mean, and everything was fine after that. He didn't actually attack you, right?
No, after that, he walked away.
I've had my say here. I'm done. Honk, honk. All right. What a great story, Ann. Thanks for the call. 437-1620. 437-1620. Let's see here. What is this? My parents' Quaker parrot on the fly yelling, "I bite you." Parrot, "I bite you." Chasing me into the china cabinet. Oh, no. Bruising my ego very badly. That's awesome. Being chased by a bird. Oh, birds are terrifying, though, aren't they? We have a bird at home. We have a cockatiel at home. Meanest thing ever. He's just like, I gave you a home, and he's the kind of bird, he doesn't really attack, but if anybody goes near him, including my son who loves him, anybody goes, he just hisses at you and backs up. So somebody here says, I was stung by a yellow jacket while cleaning up after Hurricane Ivan. It hurt like badly, and I did the same thing, put tobacco on it, and it did help. Okay, well, that's good. Somebody here says, I was strolling through the gardens at Windsor Castle in England. Oh, must be nice. Anyway, I leaned over to enjoy the sweet fragrance of a flower and was bitten on the nose by a peacock hiding in the bush. Oh, no. That's a twofer on peacocks today, by the way. We got a report in earlier that there were two peacocks walking down the middle of Olive earlier this morning. So 437-1620, 437-16. I know about the ones up off Kingsfield, and I know about the ones over by Uncle Sandy's. I did not know there were ones on Davis as well. They are kind of semi, wild animals in the area. Who is that? What was the name?
Kristen
is on the line at 437-1620. Kristen, you have a good animal attack story for us?
I do, Andrew. When I was a child, we were stationed in Germany, and it was winter, and we were out in a little German village, and they had the man playing the calliope, I think it's called. We turned the handle, and it plays music, and he had a monkey sitting on top of his calliope. And, of course, my parents wanted a picture of me with it, so I'm standing next to this gentleman, and to have my winter hood up and everything tied around my neck tight because it was so cold, and the monkey grabbed my hood and started pulling it. And a small child, I thought I was being strangled by this monkey, and of course the wonderful pictures that come with it. And it probably was not as dramatic as my childhood memory made it remember seem, but yes, I was attacked by a monkey. Sitting on top of a calliope when I was a child.
Like the Stephen King, the little, clapping cymbals monkey. And anytime you see a monkey thereafter for your rest of your childhood, you're just terrified, right? Traumatized?
It's absolutely traumatized, yes.
I'm so sorry. I had one of those, too. Not quite that bad because it wasn't a monkey, but I had for whatever reason, when I was a kid, I was petting a horse, and he nipped me on my forearm. Real light, not a big deal, but I was not expecting it, and it was hurt, And so for my entire life, even though I've ridden horses and all that, my entire life, there's still a part of me that's always expecting a horse to bite me just because of that one incident so long ago, so randomly. So you stay away from monkeys, and I'll stay away from the horses, okay?
Sounds good.
8:45 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Somebody texts in here, my father was butchering chickens, cut the head off of one, and it chased my older brother across the yard up the wood pile, even though it didn't have a head. Up the wood pile? Wow. Oh,
That's
nightmare stuff.
That's mutant right there. That's a zombie.
That's like, I never want to eat chicken again. I never want to see a KFC. I never want maybe that's revenge. Oh, God. I just can't imagine. 8:46. That's our frivolous segment for the day. Something ridiculous and fun, a little bit different than the news of the day. I'm going to do a thing here that I don't like to do. I'm going to go on the air and talk about something I don't understand.
Okay.
And you are a little bit younger than I am, and so I'm hoping that you can help clarify this a little bit for me. You ready? What's chuggy?
Okay.
If you haven't heard this term, I came across it yesterday for the first time. Chuggy, okay, C-H-E-U-G-Y. Chuggy is a derogatory term for...
Well, it is now, I guess.
Now, okay, sure. And what would you... Who would you describe as being chuggy?
Me.
I think me
probably
too. I think
you.
I might qualify here.
So chuggy, I actually just learned this definition because it was there's a show I like to watch and listen to that it was recently described by the New York Times as exactly that.
Chuggy. As chuggy, okay.
So it's a very popular show, well known, and it's something that's, you know, kind of out of date, kind of tries too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, doesn't really fit in with what's going on in pop culture right now. Like, they're just sort of stuck in this sort of, you know...
Like, what they're doing would have been cool, like, a couple years ago, and they think it still is.
Yes. Like, basically, they're still pursuing a fad that's no longer a fad is sort of what that is. But it's not supposed to be an insult, according to the person who made the word. But at the same, because they're like, oh, well, all of us can be chuggy. But at the same time, if you don't keep up with fashions, then... You are. I feel like weird.
I could probably just embrace it.
Me too.
And there's another element here. They say it's when you're trying too hard. Like somebody who's trying to be trendy or trying to be cute and cool and clever, but actually misfires on it repeatedly by aiming at old targets, so to speak. So here's a couple of things. I don't know. This is a list. Okay. You use Herbal Essence shampoo. Why would that matter? I don't know.
Why?
Using cheesy hashtags. Like, I did a thing, or...
Oh, okay, I do hate it when that happens.
Yeah, that's silly. Or, thank you, next, or life's a beach. Okay, fine. You like Disney, but you're an adult.
So?
Exactly.
I watch Disney Plus every day.
Jean jackets.
Oh, come on now.
This is just a way to describe things you don't like. T-shirts with messages on them, like graphic tees. Okay. Decorative wood signs in your home. I don't even know what that is, but okay. Oh, Dunder Mifflin merchandise. So that would have been funny for Office fans before. And then like anything that you could buy, like at the NBC store, like Friends, they would say, or something like Axe body spray. That's such a random eclectic list.
That's pretty middle school though for me.
Yeah, that is a little bit old, but okay. So chuggy is somebody who's, like a trendy poser, like somebody who's trying to be on the trend, but they're really misfiring again and again and again, especially with their, I don't know, their hashtags on Instagram or whatever. Okay, fine. Good. Great. By the way, I knew I was out of touch with some portion of society when I looked at a tweet that was supposed to explain what chuggy was by creating a grid of like 9 different words based on your self-awareness of your failure to measure up to the trends and also how you were in terms of the trends. And I only knew like 1 word on the entire grid. So these are, basic, fratty, chuggy, dadcore, offline, normie, bimbo, himbo. I mean, stop it. This isn't even English anymore. I don't know what you're doing.
The term fratty is a slur, thank you, because I was in a fraternity. And, hey, we're some decent people out there.
I'm just saying, you know, maybe you're a little bit dadcore, Davis.
I probably
I'm
am.
I'm sure that's a misuse of that term.
What does dadcore mean exactly?
I have no idea. So I hang out with the dictionary, not the Twitter-ictionary or whatever it is where people are making up these words and it changes so fast nobody can keep up. Davis Allen, time now for a quick shot of sports. Come on, Freddie.
Well, don't think this is chuggy because the Pensacola Blue Wahoos are back for their first home game in almost 2 years now. They're going to be taking on the Birmingham Barons. There's supposed to be some weather out there, but it looks like it's going to work out just fine. Fingers crossed for sure. If you can't make it for any reason, but you still want to listen, ESPN Pensacola 1330 AM and 99.1 FM is your home for the Pensacola Blue Wahoos, and I'll be on air this morning doing color commentary with Steve Nissom. He'll be doing play-by-play, so that'll be fun. Looking forward to that. Also, Tim Tebow making a return to sports. He was a football player, then he was a baseball player, and then he's football, then he'll probably go to golf, and then basketball, and then try one more time at football before he does baseball.
Curling by 50.
And then curling by 50 is what his timeline is saying. Anyways, he signed a one-year deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well done!
I know, made sure to hit it this time.
Look at that!
We'll see if he actually makes the roster. I hope he does. I really hope he does. And congratulations to Russell Westbrook of the Washington Wizards, passing Oscar Robinson for most triple-doubles of all time in NBA history. That's a good accomplishment. That's your quick shot of sports. Taking this now into your traffic on the fives. Really, the only delay I'm seeing out there, westbound Gulf Breeze Parkway, still delayed. As a matter of fact, really delayed to Soundside Drive. That's back there if you're trying to get to Garcon Point Bridge. So just expect those delays there. If you're traveling on itinerary 110 or Avalon, flowing smoothly, same with the front gate of NES Pensacola. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives. And just a real quick update, I do want to mention that there are gas stations out there. The only ones I've noticed that do not have gas, the Walmart and Highway 29, just ran out of gas. Also, earlier received a report that the Circle K at the intersection of 9 Mile and Beulah doesn't have gas, but most other gas stations that I'm hearing at the moment do. I believe the Circle K on Highway 98 and Tiger Point also does not have gas at this time, but if you go further down the highway going westbound, the Exxon had just filled up earlier. They just refueled it over there. That's your quick shout or the traffic on the fives and your gas update.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Future News. Davis and I tell you the truth before it's true. Santa Rosa County Commission having an afternoon meeting today. Number one, will it be a circus or productive?
I'm going circus.
Oh, circus. Most definitely circus. Will Dan Shebler still have his job after the meeting?
He will.
Yes, absolutely. How soon will we get back to normal on gas purchasing here locally?
I really think today.
Yeah, I had it at least tomorrow, but I do think it's not going to be long-lived, which is a good news. Will we have a train stoppage today? So far, so good. Fingers crossed.
I think
there'll be another one this week. It's a mess out there. Will lots of kids get vaccinated now that Pfizer is available or will be soon available to 12-year-olds and up?
No.
People are not indicating an eagerness at the lower ages, so I also think no. Will the PPD badges be redesigned or redone $300,000 worth?
Yes.
I think I said no earlier, but I think I'm probably a yes on that. Thanks for